Some black people try to do white people music. Try to do white hippie music. Right, Dave? That was spanky.
That was a weird thing where it almost sounded quaint, and that this seems so unusual that black people would sound quaint.
Yeah. Spanky Wilson.
You know what I mean? Usually they're the trendsetters, the cool barometer kind of thing. But this is almost like, yeah, they're not doing it as cool as Cream.
Yeah, because remember the...
Or Hendrix. And now, mind you, Hendrix did a killer version, and he's black. So, no, they did lock it down. So, yeah. Actually,
well,
when you really break it down... What?
The myth is that the black people, general Americans, thought the white hippie kids were nuts. They were into nice clothes and everything, the blacks. And
more preppy. Aspiring not drop out and be vagabondy and gypsy-like.
Yeah. So there was this collective myth that there was a bit of a distance between the blacks and the whites. And that period. And Hendrix, I don't know if Hendrix bridged anything. He just was an odd...
He transcended everything. So he did bridge stuff in the sense that he transcended race because he was just so black, but yet he was just Jimi Hendrix, the fucking awesome artist and the cool guy.
Was he popular among black kids?
He was very popular with white kids. Hendrix was like so huge from 19...
Wait, you're not listening, Dave.
Yeah. Sorry.
Look, what happens in 71, 72 is the Commodores, all those black groups with the same clothes, you know? The Commodores, I don't know what the... They would be five or six of them, they'd be swishing around, and that goes into the 70s. Hendrix, all you get is... Sly trying to do something, and George Clinton. But the blacks stayed with that. You know what that kind of music is? You know, Commodores? That's one right here.
R&B evolving into disco with the sort of the evolution of
Before
Motown.
Before disco.
Yeah.
Before disco, these guys would...
Funk.
They'd have the same moves. Yeah, but I guess it'd be sort of, not so funky. They just would be smooth, and they'd all have the same movements, which they used to do with, 10 years before, but it became more of the movement, physical movement of swaying and having their legs move at the same time. They used to be, they came to Halifax all the time, these guys, and play in the Arrows Club. Anyways, Hendrix, they did not become.
No, he was his own niche, really, think of it. So he played with the Isley Brothers. He had amazing background. He was going to be, I think, with James Brown, but it was just he was an upstager, or not intentional upstager, but you know what I mean? It would have been then the James Brown and Jimi Hendrix show eventually. I don't know if that is that. There was someone famous.
Oh, yeah, James Brown went on his own way. He created funk.
Yeah.
But the black, they didn't. They did their dancing. You know, they'd all be, you know how they do the same moves? Five of them.
Right.
Sort of. And they'd whirl their hands
trumpet
over each other. And they'd turn around. Yeah. They'd do a twirly twirl.
Uh-huh.
Those guys. The Commodores was one of the bands.
Earth, Wind, and Fire?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Nope.
Okay, fuck it. I don't know what I'm
saying. Yeah, I'm not sure what you're trying to say. It's really late for me, too. I've been up a lot and smoked a few joints, but I'm here.
Okay.
But what the fuck was
Ian talking about?
So, yeah, well...
Roxy had an experience while this was happening. So, Roxy, tell us a bit about what happened.
Yes, I was, like dreaming, and I was in a room with Caroline and Bob, and very tall, like, modern-looking boys, but very, very tall... were coming in and out of the room, and they were, like, completely ignoring us, like as if they could not see us.
Yeah.
And they would come in and change their coats or something. But they were, like, very, very tall. And then I just realized, like, oh, so this is, like, what it's like to be in a parallel world, like, I usually have the experience that I'm in places I think it's like Mexico, but it's like a streamer, like bigger,
yeah.
like everything is more
different
in Mexico City, like much more people, much more traffic, much more something. And I'm just like going somewhere all the time, nonstop. Like, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm just like going, going, going. And I don't really interact with the people or with anybody, but everything is like super real. I can smell, I can.
And you're aware of the recording, or you've forgotten the recording?
Yes, completely.
Oh, completely listening to what I'm saying.
Yes, about the kingdoms and blah, 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 blah. like as it was in the background. Yes.
So what kingdom was that, Dave?
Yes, but I was just like very aware of, oh, this is the thing. That's why I don't do anything with anybody in this experiences when I'm just going somewhere, but I don't really get to interact with the people. Like, they ignore you. It's very rare. Sometimes it happened that they sort of look at you, but there is something like they look at you and like something is not right with you.
Yeah, they look away. They're not going to interact with you.
Yeah, like you're weird or something is. Yeah.
Or they might not even be seeing you. They look like they're seeing you, but you don't register, so it looks blank in their eyes. But don't mind me. I don't know. I flunked English. I actually never took English. Okay, so anybody have an idea what I was talking about?
I got a little muddled. Again, you're lemon squeezing, and I have to say at some points, too, that someone had emailed me, and I was just thinking, so at some points I wasn't soaking it. You have to listen really, 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 really carefully that, and also kind of, as you're listening, kind of think that maybe you think you know where Ion's going, and then the interruptions happen, and then it's hard to totally follow, because in the end, you know, you're trying to squeeze out, what the hell is the middle king? At one point I thought he was saying the middle kingdom it has two angles, with the outer kingdom and with the inner kingdom for a bit. And then it's like, no, the outer kingdom can directly go to the inner kingdom. I'm still trying to grasp it. So which one? Okay, so the outer kingdom is like the outside world, sort of. It's not you. It's like the air, the trees, other people, whatever, external, the sun, things act.
Your skin.
Right, sort of,
your skin.
Your skin's not your middle kingdom. Okay.
No, that's your outer kingdom.
Okay.
Your inner organs. Maybe he hadn't gotten that far yet, but you're going to hear the inner organs are the inner kingdom. Like, there's a lot more to be said. So
another thing I experienced since we're doing the OBC is like I see something and I just know what that means, what that decoration was.
Yeah.
But
what's that going to do with this?
Yes, that... they say there is a type of knowing that comes from your core, like you say, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart.
Yes.
That.
But I don't know if that's
is something
in
that.
This.
Yes, it was in that.
Okay, I won't argue. Second time, I don't know what I was talking about.
Because it's something that comes from your middle kingdom, he says, like. From inside you, this knowing that somehow you align with this.
Yeah, the middle.
But isn't that the heart? Isn't that the heart part? You know, when something they all align. That's right. But when they all align, isn't he saying there's an alignment that takes place?
Inner organs are the heart. No, inner organs are the inner kingdom. That's what you're going to hear. If he didn't say it yet, you'll hear it.
I thought he was expressing, though, that the heart is like, and the heart can be blue, the blah, blah, blah. So that is also could the heart also be like the gut feeling? You know, when something doesn't feel right, so it's emotionally.
The inner kingdom is the heart. Yeah.
Well, what does the heart describe? Just an organ? That's purely it.
I don't know.
No meaning beyond that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on.
Okay, he says the inner kingdom is emotions. He says it's emotions.
Okay, isn't that matters of the heart?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay,
the inner kingdom.
So that's the inner kingdom, right? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is like some type of retrieval of information. That we think it's all from the outside, that we research or we learn from a book or from somewhere.
That's outer kingdom.
From experience, but then there is other way of
the Middle Kingdom is nebula. I think later it becomes tactility, but I don't think you should know what it means yet because it's confusing. And I'm re-listening to it from last night, and I don't know where we're going, where it's gotten to yet. But I know we get a little better later.
Yeah, but isn't the,
what I was thinking that is very interesting is how our organs are connected to matter and energy in a way mm-hmm. that we can get like information or we can manifest things. And
but he's saying we're manifesting all the time. You're at creativity. He said they don't discuss creativity because you're being creative and manifesting all the time. But you're just not aware of it, not remembering
yes,
it.
Yes, and at the same time, it's like very hard for them to put these things on words.
Yeah.
And they say, because, mm-hmm. like when you're talking about the triangle.
Yes, we're right there now at the triangle.
We cannot limit things to these definitions.
Mm-hmm.
But the triangle was always very important, like for the Pythagoreans, and then in the Angelic Society.
Yeah.
They had like a four. And I also, for some reason, linked that to the hangman. He's also like making a four with his legs.
Right.
He's hanged. But this type of triangle was like very important for the secret societies since.
Okay, so upcoming, J.W. drew this chandelier, and wait till you hear about that. And it's more than the triangles, there's squares and other things in there. It gets real complicated. So don't stay fixed on the triangle image later or on this. We just got somewhere. Oh, okay, triangle. I go, it's a triangle. Okay. We'll talk about that for a while, but then there's more coming.
Okay, but hang on one sec. You were talking about, remember, the angles between, and then Carolyn was saying, well, if you say angles, you mean geometric angles? How many degrees are we talking here kind of thing? Or, you know, and he's,
yeah.
So then he's saying more like a path, right? So when you talk about paths, and there's this sense of three kind of entities of sorts, when they come into alignment, a perfect alignment, the path, I think, isn't that what he's saying? Then the heart knows, there's a harmony, and you kind of
no,
come into...
No, you know what?
No, okay.
You didn't notice it. He changed angle meant when in business, the guy has an angle on something, like an attitude.
Right.
There is that meaning
right.
comes in a little
right.
later. What the hell is that, you know? What's
it's
your angle?
More qualitative than quantitative.
I just know you can't get it on one listening.
Right.
You have to really listen to it five times.
I know. Oh, absolutely. I haven't quite grasped it yet. And it should be somehow eventually easily graspable that we're talking three kingdoms, okay, and they're talking about the angles between these kingdoms, not and just using that word angle, but that could mean the alignment between these kingdoms or the paths between these kingdoms or how they align, all that stuff. And what affects how they align? The user? You?
Well, what? I don't like the word align. I end up
yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
careful about that word. But
okay.
what you heard talk about at the beginning something that's been referred to before, and he went into a little more detail. I know he went into the dodecahedron, the original description of himself, so that's interesting, but I'm not saying you get it right now. You have to re-listen to it. And he went into something at the beginning, which I can't remember right now. Let's, I look
because
at
because another thing with these angles that I was remembering was the Mona Lisa's.
Yeah.
There are different versions. There is a very young one in England. And then there is the famous in the Louvre. And
yeah.
there is another one in El Prado.
Yeah, the Prado.
And when you put together the Mona Lisa in the Louvre and the one in the Prado, you get like a 3D version.
Mm.
And the people studying that said the second Mona Lisa, the one in El Prado, had to be painted at the same time as
the same
Leonardo
time.
Mona Lisa,
yeah,
but in a slightly different angle.
Mm.
And,
hey. there's your angle. The first topic that they go into, they clarify it a little bit more, is the law of attraction and its failure.
Yes, and behind the Mona Lisa, you can see the base of a column. And also behind her, you can see like a nest, like a path. And I always, when I see that, I think about the tarot card of the priestess. She's between the two columns.
Yeah.
And she's like an Isis, like a priestess, yeah?
Yeah.
And the Mona Lisa is also like, I think, a representation of Isis, of the dark
Interesting.
Virgin.
Hey, you know what? Someone just typed, the Middle Kingdom is your now. They're right. They said, Middle Kingdom is your now. I think I heard that. That's right. Your now, your total now, is your Middle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the outer or the inner.
Well, that makes sense. And the heart is more reflective.
And,
the heart ain't part of your now.
But right. It reflects on the now or interacts with it in some sense, but it's a little more separated as a bigger picture. Or something,
Dave, what we learned
how do I feel?
a year or two ago, you didn't hear this, is
yeah.
The hypothalamus is all the qualities people put into the heart. It's in the hypothalamus.
The right part of the brain? Okay.
Yeah. That's the whole
right,
thing.
Right.
And that's the thing with the... At the beginning, they were talking about the separation between you and you.
Yeah.
And that's what I say... in the Sixtine Chapel, you see the David and God. They're almost touching. But
yes.
There's the separation between you and you because God is actually a brain.
Well, I don't think it's limited to the brain.
No, but that's what Michelangelo painted.
I know, but you may be wrong. I know he put the brain in there, but it's your cells and then your words.
No, but I think it's something that has to happen, like maybe in the hypothalamus.
Oh, okay,
brain,
I see what you mean. If it's a hypothalamus, yes, yeah. Okay.
That should be activated or fixed so that this separation is no longer like you are the God that you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Don't tell Christians that. They get real mad you start talking like that.
Well, it is there. It's there.
Yeah, in their
and
church.
Besides that, in the library you have Plato and Aristotle, and that's Leonardo and Frank I.
The School of Athens.
Painted by Raphael and...
Yeah.
And,
School of Athens painting. But
yeah,
let's go for some new imagery.
But there's also in your bottle, the Corinthian column that turns upside down, and you see the king with the three faces.
Yeah.
I think that's also the three kingdoms, and yeah, like we do, we look in all angles, in all directions.
Look at this.
Like you are, there is no time, so there is no way of saying this is past, present, and future. It's like all at the same time.
And no time. It's not all at the same time. There's no time to be same of.
Hey, you know where time would really have its powerful rooting?
No, she didn't respond. She had stunned it. I've stunned Roxy. All at the same time.
Yes, it's like, I don't know what we think about time. Like,
right. You can't say it's all at the same time. There's no time. And it isn't all at the same time. If you say everything's already happened, is that a time? That sounds like time. It's already happened. Probably not accurate,
but
though.
It's happening also.
Yeah. But not in time, but not where you think it is. But you can make it.
Let it go, Marty. Let it go.
Yes, Marty. Let it go. Yeah. So what were you going to say, Dave?
Well, when time became a huge factor, when literally people had their lives mapped out through time, where they would literally say, when you get to this age, you'll now have to do this for X number of years, and then after that, you can retire. And I know from
my
grandma...
You said literally. Writing
it was
brought in time.
Right, yeah. And it was so spelled out for you. And this is kind of what's happened. Here's where you go, and then you'll get old and infirm and die, and that's it. And I know that my grandfather, he, when he, in his era, the retirement age was 60, and because, you know, people didn't live as long. And he noticed that all his friends who retired when they were 60 died within 2 years of retiring. So they only lived to be about 62, two more years. So his attitude was, that's a spooky trend to line yourself up with. So he thought, fuck it. I've done my duty, and I've fought in the war and all that shit and worked hard all my life. I'm retiring at 55, and I'm going to live seven more years.
Nobody can beat the 62. Yeah. 62.
So, well, he did. He retired at 55 and lived to be 72. And actually his wife, she lived to be about 90 or something, just in her genes. You know, she could live on toast and tea and survive.
That was your grandmother, the one in Toronto?
Nanny. She also lived in Toronto. That's the English side of the family, my mom's side of the family.
Oh.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He came as a Hope child, and she was upper class in England and was sort of disowned by her family for marrying him, so they moved to Canada.
Yeah, so the one you're talking about, where did that she live?
They were together all their lives. So they originally lived in Toronto, and then when he retired from Shell, they moved to Colborne, Ontario, out into where he bought 2 acres and a little house in a small town.
So and they were in Toronto also, as well.
When they moved from England, yeah, from Bristol to Toronto. Yeah.
And the other couple was from England, or one of the mother, grandmother.
Well, they escaped to England on my dad's side, exactly. So she married a McPherson guy, so a Scottish guy or something, and yeah, she. They became English and learned English.
So you met both of them in Toronto?
Yes, they would visit us, and yeah. We would sometimes go out to Colborne and visit them maybe once or twice a year, and it was exciting and fun because they had a neat house in the country and with a big yard and a ravine in the back, and it was pretty neat for little kids.
Yeah. Okay, so this guy beat time for a while. Very good.
And he also thought, look at the bias that these people, that the bias that this is what's happened and that and that, and they think it's over. But if they had not been told that, then that wouldn't have necessarily been the outcome. You could say also health and blah, blah, blah is different, but not necessarily because, you know, people did live to be 80, 90 then if you had a decent diet.
Well, you know, Ian says the long guys in the Bible, they lived, you know, Moses and Abraham, they lived 500 years and all that. Many of the Jews, that was true. They lived
Well, remember that Billy Myers guy? They had said the reason, no time, and also he said, well, they said the reason if there is time is that there wasn't as much radiation. Like, say, an apple, if you cut it in half, it would take days before it started to rot kind of thing. Like, everything just lived longer and was just, everything was just cleaner, and then our atmosphere, we had some kind of event that now it's not, it's a little more hostile environment.
Is that the 20th century?
No, probably, I guess, you know, a few thousand years ago.
Oh, that's the rumor that they're...
No, would that make sense in this? That was Billy Myers, those channelers said that. That's why people lived 800 years then, because there's planets even now, they said, where stuff just breaks down way slower just because of the atmosphere and the environment and whatever, the conditions.
That's changing. Whatever they say was, Ian Smetsi is, none of that applies now. That's Ian's main message. That's why Ian's here. That pi has bounced off. Nothing that we ever heard of is applicable now.
Yes, that reminds me also of J.W. said his grandfather. What's his grandfather?
In today's session or somewhere else?
You told me that he never likes to read things about sicknesses.
Oh, his father. Refused to know anything about diseases because he figures if he never doesn't know anything, it won't happen to him.
That's very
if you know,
smart.
You get this symptom, then that might show that you have this and that, and then you actually get it.
Yes.
You go to the doctor and you tell him, I have symptoms.
How about this? This was always profound finding that they had, you know, to make it in small towns where they didn't have mammogram testing and screening. They found that the women had tumors and that the tumors had come and then eventually subsided. And so that if they had have got them, they would have chopped them out and fucked them up. And that actually was part of a kind of natural process. And it wasn't necessarily a fatal thing. Now, not all breast cancers are benign per se, but they would have been diagnosed and they would have probably done something that would have been more harmful to the person than just ignoring it. Yeah. So they didn't even know they had breast cancer. It came and went. Luckily, they weren't at the doctor's when it was there. They would have been in big trouble.
That's right.
So you go to the doctor, sorry, we missed those cancers, but still, let's get some of those machines in those small towns. It was still a good idea.
Yeah, Ion's going to explain a little later why Carol and I could take Ion. And I'll just say the punchline. Because they said, down deep, you and Carol knew you didn't know anything. That was what helped us. So most people...
So you were willing to allow.
Yes, because because most people...
They know
stuff. They know.
And I
they
start
know,
talking.
And they are not open to other possibilities. Like, they
right.
think it's just nonsense.
Right. So mm-hmm. Ion showed up to them... They wouldn't have lasted very long because I would have said
exactly.
a lot of stuff that they knew was wrong, and they would leave it. I didn't know nothing, never did, and neither did Carolyn deeply, and so we went along with it. And you're right. He kind of says we're open to a new thing. But that's where I'm glad I don't understand anything that's going on.
But this is so weird in this planet that When I was reading about the corporation and the empire,
yeah,
they also always had these secret societies in
yeah.
Asia and in Europe and in America, and these type of secret societies, the people are initiated and they get some.
I think they learn to get out of their cultural conditioning and they kind of move into not knowing, and then they. Go to parallel worlds or whatever deeply they're initiating, but they move out of normal knowledge. That's what a secret society does.
Yes, and they use the initiated people for this type of parallel world economy, the black economy.
Right, yeah.
Did
you remember several months ago when I was talking about the guards at Buckingham Palace? That those
no,
guys,
but like
stand
also
there.
The guards in the Vatican or the Johanniter Order,
yeah,
the
right.
Order of St. John, the Malta Chevaliers, the LaRouche mentions an order in Mexico called the Chevaliers of Cristóbal Columbus or Columbus.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says these people told him personally that they have to take some things that are soaked by their own blood when they're initiated, and if they tell whatever they know,
yeah,
that they use these people to do things that nobody has to know.
Right, couriers.
And if they tell anybody, then they're killed.
Right.
And so these weird things are happening at the same time. But nobody acknowledges the mystery landscape.
Right.
It's like they say Bob is crazy and...
In the public, they don't. The public doesn't know, doesn't acknowledge it. The dumb public.
Yes, but the empire also uses
yeah.
those tools that you're also using.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that's what Ion exposed. But I'm just talking about for getting initiated, you got to drop what you think you know.
And also another thing yeah. that has been always very important is this cult ISIS, where they're using these drugs to get whatever visions or whatever
yeah.
they do rituals in their initiations.
Which drug are you referring to?
Different types of procedures through
okay.
history. They're
okay.
always promoting these ISIS cults, and actually, he really knows exactly who was doing what in California, for example, some disciples of Crowley, and they're preparing all the hippie movements in the 20s.
Right.
And having these crazy ISIS cults and the LSD. And
did you ever read Dope Inc., Dave?
I did back in the day, and it's funny, I looked at that book tonight just when I was looking at stuff. I didn't, like, go through it, but yes,
Roxy's been reading this week. She's quoting and interested in the Dope Inc.
Is that not explosive? Not only explosive book, but considering it's about 1976 or something, too. I mean, it's just crazy. Mind-blowing, though, you know what I mean? Well, I mean, his stuff is, what would you say, it's explosive. It's scandalous.
Maybe this type of substances, you know, help you, like, the one
Some.
And Caroline.
Right. With their substances?
Like, just